last week we started talking about prayers, and we said, teach us to pray, O Lord. And we were able to understand that God is only interested in his own business, meaning that every prayer that is prayed that is contrary to the purpose of God for creating you, for the purpose of God in your life, does not attract God's interest. So, and we learned that to always have our prayers answered, we need to find out exactly what God's purpose for our life is. What is it that God has for you? What is his plan for your life? And then we looked at a few things that can point us to God's purpose. We ended up talking about a purpose-driven life, that we are not just here for ourselves, we are not just here to attain whatever we have attained or what we want to attain, but somebody kept us here, brought us here. And the Bible says that he foreknew us right from the foundation of the earth. So meaning that we are part of God's plan for the whole earth. So in your own little way, you are a little part of that big plan of God. And then if your light is not burning, then there will be a problem, because some part of that will be in darkness. So it is very, very important that we understand that we are not just here, just to be here. We are not just here to attain whatever education or whatever thing we have attained, but we should also always remember that someone brought us here, kept us here, and there is a purpose for which he did that, and which he does not hide from us, but we need to find out. Your purpose is not mine. Your calling is not mine. Each and every one of us has a little part to play in the bigger picture of God's whole purpose for the earth. And I remember that I was talking about a scripture in Romans that said that creation, they are groaning, they are traveling, until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the sons of God is you and I. So creation is waiting for us. Things are turning upside down because we are keeping quiet. Everything is getting bad. We still feel the pain too, but while we are looking for the solution outside or some other place, little do we know that the solution lies with us. We pray, God, do this. God is not coming down to do it. He's going to use you and I to do it. So we can help ourselves and let the purpose of God be established so that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Amen. So today we are still talking about prayer. We're still going a little bit about prayers. I mean, prayer is thing that even if we have to talk about it every day, we can never, never out-talk prayers. We can never, never, never. Prayer is the main thing, is the mainstream of our life as Christians. Without it, we can do nothing. If we can't pray, then we can't do nothing. So prayer should be part of our daily lives. Actually, prayer is supposed to be like breathing. I know you can't spend 5 seconds without breathing in or out. That's the way prayer. Prayer is called breathing. The believers breath. So it's as important as your breath. The way you breathe in and breathe out, That's how important prayer is. And without it, you don't have a life, really. And that is true. So St. Paul was admonishing the Ephesian church today about prayer. But meanwhile, before we get to that, Ephesians, where we read in the book of John, Jesus was given thing that people thought that was a hard teaching. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And then people don't understand what he was saying, and they thought it was a very hard teaching. Who is going to keep it? He's simply saying, talking about the word of God and talking about the spirit. Talking about eating him, he's talking about the word of God. He says, because the bread I'm going to give you is the one that came from heaven. You know? So now he's talking about the word of God and talking about, meaning the word he preaches or the words he's teaching, that's the word of God. And then drinking his blood is simply being intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Bible says that we should not be filled with wine, but we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he is the only one that can help us. Actually, this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Father created, the Son redeemed, lost man, and the Spirit came to help us to be able to get back on track and make it finally. So that the redemption that Jesus has worked out for us, we continue to be on that. And then, so that's the thing. It's all about the same thing. We can never, 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 never outweigh the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that has been given to us to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, to direct us, to reveal things to us. So the Holy Spirit is just the eyes of the believer. You see with him, he reveals everything to you. He directs you, he instructs you, he teaches you, he does all these things. And this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Then the question is, how much or how much do we allow him to fulfill his ministries in our lives? One thing about him is that he does not struggle with anybody. It's either you allow him or he stays quiet and watch you because he knows you can't do it without him. So if it is you, then he will go back. But if it is him, then he will come in. So many times we have to understand that Christianity is all about denying self. Denying self. It's about daily self denials. It is about refusing to recognize me and always recognizing the Holy Spirit. So if you are the kind of believer that sees you everywhere, then you can't see him because he sees you and it's like you fuse everywhere. So you can't see him. But when you refuse to see you and seek to see him, then you will see him. Amen. There is nobody. Jesus says, knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. There have never been any who have asked and never received, especially asking for the Holy Spirit. So that was why St. Paul was admonishing Ephesians church today, says, the only secret of prayer. Now, why is it that the prayer that is very much effective is that is prayed in the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and he knows the will of God, right? Now, when last week we were talking about the reason why prayers are not answered is because we pray amiss. We pray contrary to the will of God, to the purpose of God. But I can pray contrary to the purpose of God, but the Holy Spirit can never pray contrary to the purpose of God, because he himself is God himself. Okay? So now, the Holy Spirit knows the purpose of God for your life. Even when you do not know, he knows. Now, what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He knows the will of God. He knows the purpose of God for you. He knows you. He knows your problem. He knows what you need. He has a perfect knowledge, both your side and God's side. So when he begins to intercede for you, he can never intercede contrary to the purpose of God. So he intercedes exactly according to the purpose of God. And Bible says, and we know that if we pray according to his will, he answers us. So that is why St. Paul admonished them. Pray in the Spirit at all times in all manner of prayers. Now, prayer is diversified. There are a lot of kinds of prayers. Supplication, thanksgiving, warfare, we have a lot of them. Now, who knows when which should come? Who knows at what point you come to pray, which is more important, which you needed more than the Holy Spirit? Who knows how to war than the Holy, more than the Holy Spirit? So, St. Paul says, in every prayer, pray in the Holy Spirit, meaning allow him. He prays with groanings which mouth cannot alter. Somebody might be asking a question. How do I allow the Holy Spirit to pray? One thing I want to tell us today is that prayer should be a deliberate thing. You have to plan to pray before you can pray. Prayer can never be an accident. It can never be a sudden thing. We have to prepare to pray. So we would deliberately say, I am going to pray. And we have to prepare to pray. So in other words, when we come to prayers, the most important thing about we need to do first is come to the court of God with praise, with thanksgiving in your heart and praise in your mouth. That is always a good way to begin your time of prayer. Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you praise God, you are simply inviting him over. Because prayer is communication. It is not just you talking to God. When you talk to God, you have not prayed. Prayer is communication. God must be present. God must be aware that you are talking. You get into a room and someone is sitting there in the office on the table and busy writing, and you start talking, excuse me, sir, can you? He's not hearing you. He's not responding. And then you speak like for, let's say, 10 minutes, and the man was still busy writing because he wasn't hearing what you were saying. Or you have not just called his attention. Now, when you spend 10 minutes in the office and come out, will you say you have communicated with the person? Nope. You were just talking. So you just talked and came out. So sometimes that is exactly what we do. I said that prayer should be a conscious act, meaning you have to understand that prayer is communication. Prayer is not you talking to God. It's you talking to God and God talking back to you. Last week, I told us that one of the things we have to know about prayers is that you have to understand what God wants from you. Then, so that you will also tell God what you want from him. It is not the other way around. You mustn't tell God what you want to do when you don't care about what he wants you to do. So you have to understand what God demands from you, what God wants from you, So that when you begin to ask God, you will ask him in line with his will for your life. So now you have to consciously know that you are going to pray and understand that prayer is not just, you are not just going to talk to God. You are going to commune with God, right? Now, understanding that prayer is communication or communion with God, that helps you to prepare your heart to know that you are not just only going to talk, but you will talk and you will wait to hear. You will talk and you will expect. One thing with God is that when anything we do not expect from him, we do not receive. So there should be that understanding that while you talk to God, having understand, and of course, well, we can say every, like I told us last week, the greatest prayer that has been prayed and will ever be prayed, let your will be done, O Lord. That's the greatest prayer. That prayer encompasses everything. It answers everything. It has everything in it. Let your will be done, O Lord. You are sick. Let your will be done. Of course, definitely, it is his will that will be done. So even when you refuse to ask for his will, of course, it is only his will that will be done, not your will. And you are in a situation, you don't know what to pray. Simply say, Lord, in this situation, let your will be done. Because eventually it is his will that will be done. So that is the greatest prayer you ever pray. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for waking me up. In my life today, let your will be done. I am going in for this business. I am going out for this. I am going to work. Lord, in all things, let your will be done. That is the greatest prayer you can ever pray. And for Jesus, in his moment of pain and sorrow, he said, Lord, not as I will, but your will be done. Because if it is my will, I would have said, let this cup pass over me. But of course, it doesn't make any difference. Even if I ask it to pass, it's not going to pass. It is still your will. So, nevertheless, let your will be done. So, have you allowed God, have you given God permission in that situation for his will to be done? Or are you still fussy by yourself, thinking that you have enough strength and energy to change those things? I want to tell you that there are things you can change, and there are things you cannot change. That was why a wise man prayed prayer. He said, Lord, give me the power to change things that I can change, and the grace to bear the things I cannot change. In every man's life, there are things that cannot go. St. Paul said, thrice I prayed to God and said, Lord, take this away from me. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. So in the life of a believer, at every time, there are things that can go and there are things that cannot go. There are things that can be shaken off. And there are things that cannot be shaken off. There are things that the Lord have allowed to direct you, to bring you back, to map your path. And those things, it might not be pleasant anywhere, but receive grace to bear them. Because every man definitely will bear his own cross. I don't know what your cross is. You can't throw it away. No. If you lose the cross, you lose the Christ. Yes, yes. So the cross must be there. You have your cross to carry. And only what you need for your cross is grace to bear it. If you're getting angry with God for not doing that, I'm sorry, because your anger and your emotions cannot change. Because God have allowed it in your life for good. You may not know it now. But sooner or later, you will understand. Bible says, when we shall see him, we shall know. So many questions, you can never get an answer here. So strive to enter. Because when you shall see him face to face, then you will have answers to everything, and you shall know him better. Amen. So we have to pray. Come to his court with praise, and let your mouth be full, your heart be full with thanksgiving. Thank God, praise God to attract God's presence, because he inhabits the praise of his people. And do not forget the word of God, because if you are praying anything outside the word of God, it doesn't make any sense. So a little portion of the Bible, a little verse, one verse, 2 verses, 3 verses, 10 verses of the Bible will do you good in your prayer time, because sometimes you read that particular scriptures and you see that the scripture will direct you in a way you want to pray. You look at that scriptures, you see some prayer points. These are so many things that we have to start doing. I mean, you cannot master the leading of the Holy Spirit in one day, but you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere and you grow up. So don't wait until you sit down, okay, well, Holy Spirit, I'm ready now. Talk. I want to hear. That does not happen in one day. You have to start engaging in a relationship, in interaction with him, little by little by little, and you'll be growing until you begin to master his voice, even when he speaks in your, because he speaks to all of us every minute and every second. But so many times we don't recognize him speaking to us. You will only know the voice of your friend, right? If a stranger talks outside, you cannot say who is talking. But someone that is close to you, speak, oh, I know his voice. This is so-so and so-so. So you need to engage the Holy Spirit in that very close relationship to begin to understand and to recognize his voice. But I tell you, for every individual believer, he has a distinct voice and sign that goes with his voice. That's why Jeremiah said, "Is not your word like fire to my bone?" Meaning, when God speaks to Jeremiah, he feels the fire burning in his bones. So that is the sign. That is what differentiates God speaking to Jeremiah and devil and every other self speaking to Jeremiah. So we all have these voices coming. But when you develop an intimacy, real intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you begin to discover what signs that follows his voice. Amen. So we have to pray. Now, having scriptures could help you a lot in your prayer. Please, I want to tell you that it's not all the time you want to pray that God will want you to say, "God, please, I need this." No. It's not always. There are some problems in your life that will simply be solved easily when you pray for someone else. Amen. In that state, in that same problem. Yes. But if you keep on praying, "God, me, he doesn't answer. Remember, there is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. When you sow, you reap, right? So if the easiest way to reap is to sow, therefore, what are your needs? There are still others who have the same needs. Why don't you begin to sow in the life of those people? I mean, through prayers. God, I pray for as many as are going through this. Intercede for them, because when you do that, you are sowing, and eventually it comes back to you. And the law of sowing and reaping is not what devil can interfere with. No. Devil can't touch it. It's not possible. It's a spiritual law. Nobody can break it. God cannot break it. Angel cannot break it. Devil cannot break it. Because it's a spiritual law. So that's the simplest way to get something from God. Let's stop being too selfish. Selfishness is not of God. Because he did not care about his son, but he gave him to us. If God was selfish, then he wouldn't let his son die. But he didn't spare the only son, but he gave it to us. Why can't you also be a giver? Give prayers. It's not only money. Sometimes spend some time praying for others. Pray for the church. Pray for Ebenezer. Pray for the sick and chatting. Diversify. St. Paul said, pray in the spirit in all manner of prayers. I don't know if your prayer is only, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's only what kind of prayer you know. Request, always. No. Let the Holy Spirit help you so that you can diversify your prayers and pray all manner of the prayers in the Holy Spirit. Because God recognizes the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Why, how will you know that now you are being led by the Spirit? Is when you want to pray for the car you need, and you see yourself praying for the sick, the needy. Yes, do you understand? When you don't end up praying what you have in mind to pray. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. You had in mind to ask for one thing, and before you know it, you get into prayer and you are praying for other things, for other people. Then you know that you are now being led by the Spirit. And that is, whatever you are doing then is recognized by heaven. When we walk in God's vineyard, he walks in our own vineyard. So it doesn't mean that you are stupid for leaving your prayers, your cares, and be praying for others. No, you are not. You are even wiser. Because once you pray, God knows your problem. He knows what you want to. Before we ask, he knows. So at that moment, God needs somebody to intercede for somebody. And if you avail yourself the opportunity and allow God to use you to intercede for somebody, God eventually will do that thing you need and you ask from him. Amen. So, when you get to, don't just be too, like, methodical, even though we are Methodists, but let's not be too methodical. Let us, because the Holy Spirit is not a Methodist, neither is God a Methodist, meaning he doesn't have one single way of doing things. God might decide to pass here today, and tomorrow, he passed the other way. So, you can say, well, I know him. This is what he always do. I'm sorry about that. Because you can't predict what he can do. Therefore, let us throw away methods and allow ourselves in the hand of the Holy Spirit to move us anywhere he wants us, to direct us anywhere. Spend some time, that is very important, praying for others. Spend some time praying for others. That scripture St. Paul mentioned, and pray for the saints. It's very important. So many believers out there need your prayer. There are those that are sick that cannot get out of their sick bed unless you pray. And that is why and how the Holy Spirit puts something in your mouth. There are so many times I have spent hours interceding for people I have never seen. Even I don't even sure if I can ever see them in life. But I get down to pray and the burden comes upon me. I could see them, but I have never seen them before. If I see them tomorrow, I might know, but I have never met them again. But I know that this weight of burden on me is a burden that someone is going through. And I begin to pray. As you pray, you see the burdens getting off you. The way the burden gets off you is the way it gets off the person that God is moving you to pray for. So let's understand spiritual things so that we can be spiritual. Let's drop carnality and move more by the Spirit. People that have accomplished much are those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to move them. He is given to us for everything. If we allow him, he will make us whom God desires us to be. I'm telling you that what you can do for yourself is nothing to be compared to what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Maybe you are still asking, praying, and you have not seen an answer because you have not allowed him to intercede. You must have to intentionally invite him. Holy Spirit, now is I want to pray, but I don't know what to pray as I ought to. Please help me. Help me to pray. Lead me. And as you pray this prayer, one thing about God is the answer is automatic. As you pray this prayer and ask him to lead you, then he's dropping something in your heart immediately. And you are praying for that thing. Before the Lord finishes, he drops another one in your heart. That's it. You must practice. Give time to practice before you master. People go to school, do their diploma, do their bachelor's before they do master's, right? I've never seen somebody who entered school from high school and did his master's. So let us do the diploma and the bachelor's before we get to the master's. You definitely will get there, but patiently follow God and patiently practice his presence in your life. Even if it's 10 minutes every day, practice his presence. Be still in his presence and tell him, I'm here. Speak to me. It might look like a joke, but that is how it is. And that is how it works. And that is how you're going to. So let's always learn to pray in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, burdens are lifted. Bondages are broken. Sicknesses are healed. There is freedom and there is liberty in the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give us understanding, will help us to go home and say, let me practice. Let me practice hearing you, Holy Spirit. Let me practice you praying through me. And I tell you, you will never regret doing that. And God will richly bless you as you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.